Stay tuned for The Cinema Clash, as Maryland-based critics Charlie Jewell and Hannah Buchdahl debate the merits of new releases, from the mainstream movies that Hannah tends to favor to obscure foreign films that Charlie likes to champion. It's free-flowing, unedited conversation with an occasional wine wager. Two very different perspectives, one entertaining podcast. Let the clash begin.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Cinema Clash. I am Hannah Buchdahl of ChickFlix.net, joined remotely yet again by my fully vaccinated and maskless co-host, Charlie Jewell of CharlieJewell.com. And Charlie, we're sort of inching ever closer to maybe being in the same room to do the podcast.
We are, but I'm not maskless. At work, we're actually allowed now. If you are fully vaccinated and, you know, been your 2 weeks after your second shot, you can take off your mask at work. I am fully vaccinated. I'm still not going to take it off. I have kids, and I have yet to see the paper that says, you cannot pass this to your kids. You show me that paper, I'll take my mask off.
Fair enough. So I won't be seeing you in person anytime
soon. No. You're safe to me. I believe in you. I know you. You're on the safe rolls. You know, you can hang. And plus, remember, you still got to listen to the Notorious B.I.G. It's waiting for you.
Oh, that's right. Well, and I do think that it's actually been kind of cool to do this virtually. So now that we know it's so doable, it's good to know that we can actually in the future be remote and continue the podcast. So even if you're on vacation, I'll hunt you down.
Well, exciting week episode this week, folks. We're going to bat lead off with a contest. We have swag that you can win. Maybe you did not see The Courier, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, when it came out in virtual theaters. You can now, because we have two copies of the Blu-ray of The Courier, and you can be a winner. You can win and tell all your friends, I won something from The Cinema Clash. All you have to do is retweet this week's episode on Twitter, at The Cinema Clash, and tell us, tell the world, which of the two films we are going to review on this episode, either Profile or The Perfect Candidate, which of the two films, if you had them both in your hands, would you choose to watch, and why? Why?
Okay. We'll have to remind people towards the end of the podcast exactly those instructions and remind them of the names of these films, because we're going to sort of take a moment before we get into the actual film reviews. But yes, you will want to tweet us at The Cinema Clash with your choice on which of the two films that we will soon discuss would be your first choice to watch in the near future. And then you can watch The Courier instead.
There is a correct answer, by the way, to this question. Like, you can get it wrong. You'll probably find out why. There was some major film news this week. Major film news. Perhaps you remember that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which are those 87 foreign press members hanging out in Hollywood, got in trouble this year around the Golden Globes for lacking diversity. They don't have any black people in the HFPA.
Like,
I can't say I can't say African Americans, because none of them are Americans. They don't have any. They have zero. And they said they promised, even during the telecast, we're going to address this. We're going to do something about it. Well, they didn't do something about it quick enough, because Warner Brothers, Netflix, everyone else came out and said, you're not moving fast enough. You need to do something. We're not playing with you. Warner Brothers said, no more access. Netflix said, no more access. NBC said, we're not going to air you. So that effectively canceled the Globes. And Tom Cruise came out and said, you know what? Yeah, I have these three trophies. I have these three Golden Globes. I'm going to give them back to you. We'll do a drive-by. They're in this plastic baggie. Here, he returned his Golden Globes. Hannah, take it any direction you want. Will they return someday, bigger and better? Is this the death knell? Are they just over? Or is this all just a smoke screen? Because everybody knew, and now it's a big deal. So where are you on this?
Well, we've already found plenty of fault in the past couple of years about the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And I mean, you know, and the complicity of certain marketers, and just supporting the Golden Globes. And I think really leveraging some of the swag and stuff to get some of these awards. So I've always had a little bit of an issue, but they are, you know, they're billed as Hollywood's like biggest awards party. It's definitely going to be time to make these changes, but I totally 100% expect to see the Golden Globes back the following year. If this is a bit of a trial balloon and they somehow do something really quickly and get their act together and do some really good, effective PR, I can actually see there being a bit of an about face done and an awarding to the Hollywood Foreign Press for making changes very rapidly if they should. Because by the time the next award season rolls around, this controversy will be so long forgotten. And it's possible, I think, that they could make a really big splash and boost their ratings by saying that they've made these changes. And NBC and others will be like, you know what, we're going to acknowledge that you've made these changes and we're going to give you some airtime. And now we'll get higher ratings than we would have otherwise.
Yeah, there's a segment of folks out there who like the Globes more than the Oscars because they're just fun. They're funner. They're more interesting. The Globes are the drunk uncle at the Oscars stuffy wedding. They're irreverent. They always hire a host, Ricky Gervais or someone like that, who goes you always like, oh, he crossed the line, but they want him to. They also do TV. Oscars don't do TV awards, but the very small electorate of 87 voting members are often accused of A, not watching anything on TV. Like they didn't nominate any minority TV shows this year, like zero, which is what I think really kicked this off. And, you know, they've been accused in the past of, you know, sometimes you get Oscars so white, they've done that in the past, and they can be bought. Everybody knows the Globes can be bought, mm-hmm. which I don't know why is this big scandal, because it's the production companies. It's these companies that are now boycotting the Globes who did the buying.
Right.
So
that,
how
yes.
dare you, sir?
And that is what I have a problem with, is just this. Oh, my gosh, we're not going to play with you anymore, you bad, bad, bad Hollywood Foreign Press. And it's like, you've been whining and dining these people every year. And the same information, the same controversy has been coming up year after year. So it is a little duplicitous, I think. But I do think if we don't see the Globes this coming year in 2022, we definitely will see them in 2023, probably with some big splash and Tom Cruise is the host.
Tom Cruise is the host. Not bloody likely, but you never know. All right. Fake controversy, or maybe real controversy, however you want to view it, out of the way. Let's dive into the films. Film number one, Profile. Directed by Timur Bekmambetov. We know him, Hannah. We know him.
Oh.
He did Wanted, Angelina Jolie, James McAvoy, with those circular bullet pathways, and they always learn who the next assassination target is because it comes out on the weaving loom. Love everything about that, by the way. He also is responsible for one of the best movie titles in the last 30 years, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I still love that. But he's also a suspect. He remade Ben-Hur. One of one of the worst movies ever made. It was so bad. So he's back. He's back now with what is known as Screen Life. Some people think it's a gimmick. Some people think it's the next wave of innovation. It's been around a while. You know Screen Life. He produced Unfriended. Maybe you remember that that's where a ghost starts haunting, or the supernatural starts haunting an online chat room. he did Searching, where John Cho was searching for his missing daughter. All Screen Life is a fancy word for we filmed your laptop screen. Is okay. Pretty much what it is. And that's what Profile is. Bekmambetov filmed Amy's laptop screen. Amy's a journalist. She's freelance. She ain't doing too well. She wants a staff job, cushy staff job. And to do that, she needs to successfully infiltrate this ISIS, Syrian ISIS recruiter's circle. Learn how he is luring innocent and vulnerable and naive and idiot British and European girls, teenage girls from London and Berlin and from Paris to Syria to become ISIS sex slaves. And she's going through a fake book profile and learning how to wear a hijab and saying she's a recent convert to Islam. She's going to figure it out. This is based on a true story. This is all laptop screen. It's all Skype. It's all clickety-click and copy-paste and Google search. It's also dated. This was filmed in 2016. It hit the festival circuit in 2018. So does it still hold up in 2021? I don't know. Where are you on this, Hannah?
Well, it would have needed, I think, for the Skype conversations to be replaced by Zoom or something, I think, to feel a little more timely. But what was timely is that we've all been living in this virtual world for the past year. And so it was very relevant, I think, in that regard, because you're multitasking. You know, you're trying to, she's living like two different lives. She's got two separate profiles going. She's got her real profile on Facebook, her real life stuff. And then she's got the manufactured one that she, Melody, that she's created, in order to sort of become the bait, to the jihadist recruiter that she's trying to get. And, you know, I sat there sort of yelling at the screen a few times going, really, you better like, you got to turn off one or the other. Or, you just sort of always felt that she was, she should have known better on certain things, that she was going to get herself caught, that this whole thing was going to blow up in her face. But I found it was still kind of intriguing. Like, I found it a very intriguing drama, but this is a rare one where I would say, unfortunately, it's, I think, only releasing in theaters right now. Whereas this is one that I immediately would have said, watch it on your desktop, on your laptop, on your computer. Because when it first started popping up, I really wasn't sure I was looking at my computer desktop or the film. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. But it really is one that I would, that I think it's much more intimate to watch it from a computer screen and watching someone else's computer screen. And I think that's that whole screen life vibe that they're going for.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I watched it on a large TV screen, so I didn't have the same effect for me. I never made the, you know, mistake of thinking, what am I watching here? But I love that. I could see how that could happen. It is interesting. It is actually far more less boring than I thought it was going to be. I was not looking forward to going into this. I know Screen Life. Modern Family did an episode on it. So once Modern Family does it, it's kind of over. It's out of the zeitgeist. We've moved on. But Timur's still on it, or at least he was however many years ago. I mean, this won two major audience awards, Berlin and South by Southwest. I mean, that's pretty major. That gets you buzz. But it just disappeared. It never got distribution. And somehow, someone picked it up. And now it's here. My problem with Profile is the incredulity, the stretching and unbelievability of the plot. Bilal is the ISIS recruiter who latches on to Amy, and he's good. He is very good. He is at the top of his game. He is liberal with the compliments. He displays empathy and understanding. I understand you're frustrated. London sucks. You should come to them. Syria, it's so awesome. It's gorgeous here. I love the desert. It's a dry heat. And he's just so good. He's a seducer. But this worldwise journalist, this 26-year-old who kind of knows how the world works, is getting sucked into it. Like, she's almost, you know, she's Team Bilal for a little bit. I'm not going to tell you how it ends. I'm not going to tell you how far she goes. But she goes further than you think. And I'm like, no way. No, you would not. Stop lying to me. No, you wouldn't.
I don't know. It's inspired by a true story of a French journalist who wrote, there's a 2015 book called In the Skin of a Jihadist. And so that's what this is based on. So there really are kernels of truth in the drama, in the plot. But I do agree there were some where, you know, you've got Bilal suddenly being this very charismatic, cat-loving mama's boy at one point, and then other times he's, you know, the let me show you my favorite video of someone being beheaded And, yeah, you're like, okay, there's two different sides to this
chicks
guy.
Chicks dig that, though.
Chicks really chicks dig that, that, you know, yeah. And she's liking those, you know, he's like, who's this girl liking my videos? And so it was just definitely a unique approach to this kind of story. But to me, the part that was really funny is, you know, her boyfriend, her real life boyfriend, is sending her these instant messages on one part of the screen while she's, you know, supposedly talking about becoming the, you know, the virgin bride of Bilal. And I'm like, you know, you really should be choosing one conversation to the other right now and not be juggling the two, because that could end badly. So I think this is a thriller for geopolitical and journalism junkies. You know, I think that's pretty much the target. I remember back around, probably around 2015, when the book had come out, that it was a huge news story about the jihadist recruiters using social media and all the girls that were getting sucked into this web and why they were going. And I get that
ignorant teenage girls with standard teenage girls problems would love the attention and would love the idea of becoming a desert queen, not 26-year-old women who figured it out.
Well, and back to your point about whether this is just a few years too late coming out, I think that could be, because it was a hot button issue. It was much more kind of out there in the mainstream media talking about it. And so we've sort of, it's just kind of gone. Like, it's just not as big of a, of course, the past year, nothing broke through beyond COVID. So you're right. There's sort of two different things at play here for me. There was the one that it's a few years too late, but then the other part of me that says this technique and this feeling of living through this virtual cinema is more timely than it might have been. So I don't know. I'm kind of divided, but like you, it was I wasn't really excited to be watching this film, but in the end, it kind of reeled me in, and there are some incredulous things for sure. But it didn't suck.
That's an excellent transition. It didn't suck. All right. Our next film, it's actually from somewhat in this same part of the world, different country, though, in different circumstances. It's from director Haifa Al-Mansour. Maybe you remember that name because she made a splash in 2012 when she directed Wajda. I remember that movie because it was the first film ever shot completely in Saudi Arabia. And by a female director. She actually had to direct from inside a van because she couldn't interact with the male film crew. Swept the festival circuit, won a bunch of awards. It was nominated for 2 Washington, D.C. film awards. It was great. And Haifa went on and she made Napoli Ever After, another film I remember from 2018. And she's back. She's made another film in Saudi Arabia. It's a bit more liberal than the last time we saw it, like 7 years ago. Women are driving now. Hannah, this is called The Perfect Candidate. Who is The Perfect Candidate?
The Perfect Candidate is a young doctor named Miriam, and she works at this small town clinic. And all she really wants is to either, one, she wants a new job. She wants to get out of that clinic and get to like a real hospital in Riyadh or something. But her other big goal is to get this dirt road in this sort of almost like a mud pit in front of her clinic, to get the road to the clinic paved so that, you know, so that people could actually get care and get to her. And, she sort of ends up falling into becoming a candidate for like the local council or something. And so that's going to be her platform. But she's a woman. And as a woman in Saudi Arabia, it's like, you're not actually supposed to run and you don't have a chance in heck of actually winning. But it grew on me. So I found it to be a nice sort of family drama, girl power drama. There's a dynamic between with her sisters. Her father is a widower, but he's a musician, and he just kind of like goes out on tour while she's running for this seat on the council, and really needs him because he's the guy, he's the man of the house. And in order to get anything done and to be able to go anywhere, you kind of need a male relative escort. And so Dad kind of took off and went to do a music tour with his band. And that to me was actually kind of comic relief throughout this film, was when they would sort of go back to where Dad was playing and his efforts to get to be part of the national band of Saudi Arabia. It was this sort of extra storyline that didn't really get full play. It was just sort of there. But it's a girl power. It's a girl power in Saudi Arabia film. And it's like she's going to finally assert herself, take off the thing that actually completely covers up
Niqab.
The niqab. So not just a burqa, but she's actually completely, until she becomes a candidate, it's like you only would see her eyes when she was out in public. It's really a women's lib film and sisterhood film, I think, and family film about being female in Saudi Arabia, even in modern times when a female doctor can't get the respect that she absolutely has earned.
I told you you would like it more than me. You wouldn't listen. I said you would like it more than me. Through no fault of its own. Or maybe she did it on purpose, but The Perfect Candidate will be viewed through more than its plot. There's more to it because of where it's coming from and what's going on around it. Saudi Arabia is definitely more liberal than it was 7 years ago when Wajda came out. Maryam can drive. She can drive herself all over. She couldn't do that in 2011. She still can't fly on an airplane by herself, or without at least without her father's explicit permission. She gets turned away. She gets zero. I mean, she might get it looks like she gets a little bit more respect, but there's still patients who are in agony, who refuse to be seen by a female doctor. And I don't know why, because I don't, either the devil will get them or they're afraid they'll have sex with her. I'd have no idea. I don't understand the culture. I didn't like the father's plot line. They didn't tie it up. He came home and we're done now. We're just not going to talk about it anymore. She was good. Maryam was very good. I'm looking up her name right now. Mila Al-Zahrani, native Saudi. She was very good. I was very impressed with her. It's a well-made film. Haifa Al-Mansour knows what she's doing. It's quaint. There's so much you really could have talked about or done. And she does, push buttons. She does cross the line, I guess, of Saudi society here. Miriam gets in trouble at certain points, but it's still, it doesn't push too many cinematic buttons. I wasn't clutching my pearls,
No, it is quaint. You're right. It's a quaint drama. And it ends in a sort of, you talk about the incredulous stuff of the previous film. The last scene wraps it all up like a little too nicely and neatly about, the hope for the future of Saudi Arabia and of women's rights there. But I think I liked it more than you do because of that quaint nature. There are plenty of films that have tried to go, I would say, a little darker with the theme. But this was just... to me, it just the father's storyline was not very well drawn. I do wonder if something was left out, but I did enjoy when he appeared on the screen.
But you also can't watch this movie without thinking that yes, it's more liberal, yes, it's better for women, but Mohammed bin Salman just murdered Jamal Khashoggi, like. That's still a thing.
That's a problem. That's still a problem for sure. And so I don't know. I did like what it was aiming for. It's a mishmash of themes and stuff though, because then you had like the wedding singer. There was this whole wedding singer angle. But, you know, it. I think in total, I liked it enough to just, you know, to have ridden the wave, to watch it through and just kind of be like, all right, that was cute.
Told I know you
hate
like
I know you hate when something's cute.
No, but I was going to say I liked it more than Profile. Hint, hint for when you're retweeting later this week. I liked it more than Profile.
I did too. I actually, it did edge out Profile for me as well. And so, yeah, it was a lot of Islam in this week's movies.
It was.
And I was like, wow, there's definitely a theme going on here. So, yeah, it's, I think again, that one also really only releasing in theaters right now.
It's actually this week. It's only in New York and LA. It hits a couple theaters next week in DC and Baltimore and like other major cities. So you're going to wait a while to see this, honestly.
It'll be rolling out. But I think it's the same between Profile and The Perfect Candidate. I think both to me are, you know, they're streaming. They're streamable viewing as opposed
to like if you just can't wait to get back to theater and you want it to be all special and you want do not waste your first time in a theater in 15 months on one of these things.
No, but we did, there are ones that are coming out in theaters that we didn't see that are sort of like those big automatic will win the box office over either of these two films anyway. So hopefully, Army of the Dead with Dave Bautista. I don't know. We'll see.
But you don't have to go to a theater for that. That's streaming business. That's Netflix.
In a few weeks. So in a few weeks.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then, there's Finding You, which is a romantic drama that I assume is also totally worth waiting for a streaming opportunity, if that.
Notice I did not ask for that after reading the synopsis.
The synopsis is a romantic drama about a student violinist who travels to Ireland to study abroad and has a chance encounter with a handsome actor.
Nope.
I don't know why that would not be a Charlie movie, but that sounds totally like a Hannah movie. Unfortunately, I was not able to get it, and it's not streaming yet. And so
I saw Wild Mountain Time, and it sucked.
It didn't suck. It didn't suck. But I think you had stronger actors probably in Wild Mountain Time with, was that Jamie Dornan, I think.
See, you don't even remember. You don't even remember.
And, and what's her name from who's going to be in Quiet Place 2 in a few weeks?
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. So yeah,
John
so
Hame.
Yes, that's right. So it's just interesting that there's nothing that I would run out to see in the theater this week. So we're getting there, though. We're inching closer to summer movie experience theater, and so I think actually we should do that maybe for Memorial Day or something. We should just do a summer preview podcast.
Why not?
Looking forward to, because I'm sure I'm looking forward to a lot more than you are.
If it's got a musical, yes, you are. I'm by far looking forward to it more than I am.
Yep.
This past week, we were on another show. We were on another podcast, and we talked about a film we talked about on this episode on this show last week, Wrath of Man. And we did like over an hour of Wrath. We've never spent over an hour on a film before, but we have now, and it didn't seem like an hour to me. It really flowed. Where were we? Who were we with? What did we do, Hannah?
Well, we were with the Film Board, which is over on True Story FM, and with Andy Nelson and Jordan Peterson. So there were four of us. And yeah, to spend a whole hour on Wrath of Man. If you liked what we briefly had to say last week about Wrath of Man, then you can find the Film Board and listen for a whole hour. It actually was very interesting because hearing other people's perspectives and really deconstructing a film to that degree was really an interesting, different kind of challenge for us. And so, yeah, a whole hour on Wrath of Man. So you can look up the Film Board, True Story FM, and you can probably find that and listen to that. So, and just a reminder about the Courier. What are we doing for that giveaway, Charlie?
Remember your responsibilities, folks. Go to Twitter at The Cinema Clash. Find this episode. Retweet this episode and tell us, tell the world, tell me, out of Profile and The Perfect Candidate, two films we just talked about, which one are you most likely going to go see? Probably neither. But, you know, if you're holding the discs in your hand, you have to watch one. You're going to pick this one. Tell me why. Why did you pick this one? And there is a correct answer, and you know why. It just tell me because you value my opinion. Just say because Charlie told me to, and that's a correct answer.
I don't know. I think I'd go with a different answer, which I think most people could figure out as well. But hey, if you want to see The Courier, whether you already saw it or you were dying to see it and you want the Blu-ray, just tweet us at The Cinema Clash. Say, I'm going to watch The Profile or The Perfect Candidate or whichever one you think you'd prefer to watch someday. And that's what we'll figure out.
The Courier is better than both of those films.
Out of all three films,
The Courier is the best one. I actually highly encourage you to watch it. It's a good time.
Absolutely. So we'll look out for your tweets. In the meantime, that is a wrap for this edition of The Cinema Clash. Till next time, stay safe, wash your hands. If you haven't gotten vaccinated yet, please do, so we can all shed the masks.
Thank you.
The Cinema Clash with Charlie Jewell and Hannah Buchdahl is heard twice each weekend at 5:15 on Saturday and 12:15 on Sunday afternoon. Join us again next time for The Cinema Clash.